Well, hello, this is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And, you know, I always forget to thank our friends over at MTP Software, the leader in sports CRM and entertainment. And, you know, that's the company that hosts Radio Entrepreneurs, and they do a great job. They've built us a very nice studio. And what better to build a studio for than to meet an old friend of my consulting firm, and that's Dave Legere, and managing partner from New England Exit Planning Advisors. Welcome, David.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff, and it's great to see you again.
You know, Dave, new card, but same face.
Yeah, can't change that.
Yeah, can't change the face. Tell us about New England Exit Planning.
Sure. So New England Exit Planning is a boutique exit strategy for small to middle market companies. And basically what we do is help them transition the company. It could be an exit, could be contingency planning, continuity planning, all these various types of transition. Back from my days in the wealth management business, I saw where the industry was lacking with, you know, a business owner would go to the CPA and say, I want to sell my company. And the CPA would go, well, that's great. I do exit planning, and I can help you with that. And really, they don't really do exit planning. They do their professional core strategy within the exit planning process. But they would, you know, perhaps, recast numbers or, you know, upgrade the financial records and accounting. But that's where it ended. And then they would say, now you need to go see so-and-so. And as an entrepreneur, you know, you like to have it one stop. I like to finish, you know. Tell me what I need to do to complete the process.
Right, right.
So what we do at New England Exit Planning is we sit on the same side of the table as the business owner. So we're not selling any products, but we're managing the process, right? So we have, what we do is we do an actual roadmap, a plan, a written plan that's very, you know, detailed and focused and comprehensive. So what it's good for is the advisors, we work with the entrepreneur's advisors. So I'm working with their CPA, with their M&A, you know, or if they don't have them, we'll introduce them to certain advisors that are applicable for whatever it is they're trying to do. And so we kind of work as a general contractor in a sense.
You're the GC.
Correct, correct. And, people like this. Because
so would you hire someone, and I'm not, just so I, would you hire someone like me as the GC?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Interesting.
When we come across a situation where there's family discourse.
Right,
you know?
Right. Right.
And, you know, when isn't there family discourse in a family?
When there's no family. You have family, you have discourse.
So
either silent or spoken.
And so every advisor has a role. So in the end, you know, with this written document, it's good because the advisors on that team know what their role is and know what the function is.
So you represent the family in managing the attorney, the estate attorney, the investment banker, the family consultant, or the families, like, or I would say family/business strategy consultant, so that everything is an integrated piece of work and it's more efficiently run process.
Absolutely.
I think that's great.
It saves time.
I think that's great.
I think so
it's cheaper.
Too.
I don't think families realize that you're unique. But I think it would be helpful in the process because too often one of those professional service deliverers tries to do the job of the other.
Absolutely. You know, and they have a position, right? So if you if you're a business owner and you go, I want to sell my business, who do I talk to? Well, if you happen to stumble upon your life insurance agent, for example, chances are you're going to need a lot of life insurance, right? Now, I'm not you know, discrediting life insurance guys. No. I used to be one, right?
But what haven't you been?
But there is a role, right? Right? There is a role
for it's important, and it's part of the mix of the portfolio.
So what happens when the business owner sits down with somebody, they're getting swayed some way to do something that might not be appropriate. Whereas what I do is I sit on the same side as the entrepreneur, right? The goal is to, you know, maximize the value of the enterprise or to have a smooth succession. So a lot of folks, you know, somebody might go to an investment banking firm or a business broker and say, I want to sell my company. And they go, great, who do you want to sell it to? And they go, well, I want to transition it to my son that works with the business. Well, they're not going to be particularly interested in that, right? Because there's no revenue for them if they're transferring it internally. So what, you know, I've, in all my experience over the years, many years of working with business owners specifically, I felt there's a tremendous need for this, to explain to business owners what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And a lot of firms that claim to do exit planning, you know, they don't really do it. They do, like I said, they do a core component of it. But as you know, it takes a lot of time to interview, to get to know a business owner. What is it truly that you're trying to accomplish? Because, you know, I'm hearing something, but it's not that what you're saying is not really coming out the way you're trying to say it.
And I'm not trying to be critical of any profession, but I would assume you need to sell direct to the family business because, as for example, the attorneys, most of them that I know, don't want to be managed in the process of working with families. They don't want a GC in between them and the family.
You're absolutely right. And when I made this transition to do this, many of my COIs that I get business from when I was in the
Centers of Influence, for those who don't know what you're talking about.
Correct, right. Okay. So many, I figured the hardest hurdle I would have to overcome is that I'm not there to usurp them.
You're there to help them. It's just they're not used to that.
Exactly.
But attorneys, on average, a lot of them have trouble even with within their own firms cooperating.
I've had some of my COI attorneys come to me and say, you know, I should talk to you about succession in my practice.
Right.
You know, how do I do it?
Right.
So that was a key thing is that you picked up on because
I'm in that field too.
Yes. I'm not there to usurp them and I'm not, you know, managing them per se. I mean, I manage the process with the owner. So it actually is helpful to the advisor because what they're doing is they're gonna get a plan that with their input, we're gonna put the plan together with their input. So in the end, A, we know one, that the owner is committed to doing the transaction. So they're not gonna drag the advisor down the long and winding road and go, yeah, you know, I'm not interested anymore. So they did all this planning for nothing. And you know, they're not going to bill somebody for something that didn't get implemented. So I think collectively that process is what makes a cohesive plan for both the advisor and the business owner.
And how do you bill?
That's a good question. I mean, billing, I start out that there are three types of engagement. One is I do an assessment. I charge $3,500 to do an assessment. If there are multiple stakeholders in the business, say three partners own a business, you know, each one, I do the assessment for each one because mm-hmm. each one has a different opinion of what their place in the firm is. So from that assessment, we find out what it is that is, you know, what the attractiveness of the business to a third party or, you know, sale, or what their readiness to sell the company is. What is your readiness to sell the company? What does that mean? You know, what it means is, you know, if, for example, you know, the business is worth $5 million and I have 2 million saved, but I need 15 million to live my lifestyle. Well, right away, right, there's an asset gap. So you're not ready to sell it today unless you can reduce your lifestyle. So that assessment tells me the attractiveness of the company and the readiness of the owner to exit or transition. And from there, we would implement a what I call a discussion draft. And there may be, you know, in this assessment, there is, you know, who am I going to transition it to? What's the valuation of the business? How, what are my value drivers? Do I have key management in place? You know, do I have a continuity program? Are my key people tied up? Are they transferable with the firm, right? Because people are looking to buy companies that are transferable, right? So if I'm the business owner and I do everything in my head, you know, I know how much inventory I got to carry, right. I do this, right. You know, nobody's going to buy that business. I was on a panel a few months ago with an investment banker, and I said to him, I said, you know, 70% of the businesses that go up for sale don't sell. They're not saleable. And he said, what do you mean? I can sell any business, you know. So I go, well, I'll give you an example. You know, how about the local apothecary in, you know, in town, let's say Concord Center. It's a local apothecary. The pharmacist owns the business. He doesn't own the building. And all of a sudden, you know, he's aging out and he's looking to sell the business. And, you know, across the street, CVS goes in. And then three blocks away, Rite Aid goes in. Now, what's the real value of that business? You know, CVS got 100 aisles of Band-Aids.
Target and Costco. And
you know, plus you have to be a professional pharmacist to buy the business, to write prescriptions, or you got to hire somebody. So, you know, like I say, 70% of businesses aren't saleable.
And who's on your team?
I myself and an administrator. I mean, I actually do the work, Jeff.
Well, you've been around a long time. So before you go, why don't you give people a sense of that lofty or very long background that you have that you bring to this?
Sure. I mean, I started out in a family-run business myself, you know. So I was younger in our family-owned construction business. So my dad sold out in the mid-'80s. So it was a great time. But in retrospect, you know, I look back and I go, boy, you know, things could have been different had I known now what I know now. But since that, you know, I worked for some of the top named companies in the industry, in the insurance industry, doing wealth transfer, wealth management firms, some of the multinational companies. So I did a lot of strategic wealth transfer for business owners. I mean, I've always been working with business owners.
I'm sorry. So if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
They could go to my website, www.exitplanningboston.com, and there's a way to contact us there through the website.
That's a much better SEO name than Mage.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's sneaky boy.
Yeah, it's easy to remember.
Mage is my consulting firm.
Yeah.
Well, my original partner was a professional Scrabble player, and he took the name Mage out of a Scrabble dictionary, so.
I figured I'd make it simple, right?
Yeah, well, he wasn't thinking SEO. It was before SEO, and you know, it was better than the other alternative you presented to me. So,
yeah.
Dave, will you come back again and talk to us about a case and how you sort of GC'd a family towards a successful landing spot?
I'd love to, Jeff.
Great.
Thanks
for coming in. It was, you know, great just having you. And we talked for probably an hour before we even turned the mics on because I'm a big fan of Dave's. He's really dedicated to his clients, always a positive force and great to know. And if, you know, you have a succession issue, and believe me, that's the stuff I do as well. But Dave does it from a different angle. I mean, he's a good person to talk to. He's someone who can be trusted. And my name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.